here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
I don't know if we got your hey there.
Hey!
We got your hey now!
Hank Kingsley.
Alright. We Talk Wrestling back on the air and in your ear. We will get to the house cleaning stuff about what's happening with our iTunes feed and all that shit at the end.
And Mo is queer. I was just making that rhyme.
Yeah, but did you have to use that word?
Queer?
I did, because it rhymes. Oh, on your ear, in your ear. You couldn't have said on your ear, in your ear. And we are here.
I find it bad that it's in your ear and it's queer.
So we're back and we're off to a running start.
Yeah, so like November happened.
Yeah. And you were busy. What were you doing this month?
Oh, move. I move. He made a lot of appearances on the history of the 50-year history of WWE.
Hey, you watched that last night, right?
I did watch it last night. Yes. Steve Austin has pissed them off.
He didn't stop Ric Flair at that seminar. So
yeah. But yeah, it was, they had 50 years of WWE. You know, that had Bruno, had Hulk, had Cena. And there was this guy.
Yeah.
One time named Steve Austin that had matches.
Yeah. No, I heard that, as usual, it's really well produced, as all the WWE shit is.
Oh, yeah.
But that the content on some of the choices, like that they spend a lot of time on the steroid trial and, you know, reinventing the outcome of that again.
Well, they didn't reinvent the outcome of it. They just
put their spin on it, right?
I don't even know that they put their spin on it. It was almost like this happened and Vince was innocent. And that was it. Like, they had clips from the Donahue show with Superstar.
How can you resist my dog's face? She's begging you to pet
her, but she's dumb.
Oh, she is, yeah.
But they had clips of the Donahue show for that.
Yes.
A lot of Linda McMahon talking about that. Not Stephanie, comparing it to September 11th.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But there was a lot of... to me, that part just kind of come off like, this happened, and the main result of this happened. They even mentioned, they went so far as to mention that Jerry Jarrett was tapped in
To replace
Vince, should Vince have to go to jail. And basically, they blamed that on the fact that the creative sucked. That Vince's mind was elsewhere.
Oh, and that's why the creative sucked?
That's why the creative... Yeah, I'm sure to a certain degree that's true, but it's also the fact that all the stars of the 80s got long in the tooth and old and were there, but then... Then it, on the flip side, you can look and see, well, WCW had no problem with that. So,
yeah, well, the thing is that you may say, yeah, exactly, they took some of their guys and were still able to make them hot.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the creative may have sucked back then, but that brings us to today.
Yes.
The month of November happened.
Oh.
We Talk Wrestling's back on the air, and I don't want to talk about it.
No, I know, but I want to keep talking about this DVD, because there's an interview with Mr. Fuji.
Oh, really?
I love Mr. Fuji. I know, I love Mr. Fuji. They had Mr. Fuji there. They had
a little Goldberg
goatee. Oh, this is my Fu Manchu Hulkamania brother.
Oh, okay.
He was in town.
Yeah, I know.
On Friday. I didn't see him.
No, I didn't go. I was worried he would ask me to arm wrestle him again.
That's what he was doing, actually.
Yeah.
Is that if you could beat him in an arm wrestle, he would shave his mustache. It was a Movember event.
Oh.
And if he beat you, you had to shave yours.
My favorite month.
Mm-hmm.
Movember.
Yeah.
Anyways, what the hell were we saying? Okay, it's DVD. So, hey, Mr. Fuji. You know what I mean?
Had Special Delivery Jones.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Seriously. Had Lex Luger. Had Vince Russo in there, where Vince Russo was that... Brett,
how long was Luger there? Was it 2 years?
I would say three. Okay. Well, if you include the WBF is when he actually signed, right? So he signed a 3-year deal where he couldn't wrestle for the first year.
Yeah.
Because he debuted January 1993.
So 2 years within the WW.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because then he was, January Royal Rumble was Narcissus' debut, and then September of 95 was Mall of America when he showed up for WCW, for Nitro.
Yeah, okay, all right, that works.
So, yeah, they had Russo on there, they had, yeah, Luger, as I said, on there. Tons of guys, had a lot of Harley, Sensational Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
On there, like a lot of people that had since passed away, where when they passed away, for the most part, they put a date there because they had some Captain Lou Albano stuff, you know, Bruno, George Animal Steel.
He hasn't passed his way, just his sense.
No, yes, yes. No, but I just mean that the people and anybody that had passed away, as I said, like they had some Classy Freddie Blassie interview clips as well. There, so it was. I don't know. The first, it was a good. It was a good, whatever it was, a 2-hour documentary. It was decent. It was what you were going to. Some of the things is what you were going to expect. Again,
it's worth the purchase.
Oh, I think so. I think it's worth the worth. I downloaded it for free, so it was worth every penny I spent.
Well, you don't advocate doing that.
I do.
There was a while where they remember when they were sending us shit.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped.
They stopped after we said Hunter had a small penis. They stopped. I don't understand it.
It might have been before that, but we implied it a long time ago.
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
All right. So, anything else you want to talk about?
That was the highlight of the month.
Of the month. Oh my God! Yeah, they had. Like Survivor Series and stuff like that. Obviously, we didn't get a chance to talk about any of this stuff. It doesn't really matter because if, like, when you look at where they are 1 month ago to where they are today,
yeah,
would we last were able to do a show? Which I think was November 7th, actually.
Was
the last show. They've had the Raws and they had pay per view, but nothing's changed. And you know, I mean, it pains me to say this. I really do. Like I said, I loved it when I was able to run on the Raw every Monday and just couldn't wait to turn it on because it was going to be great and going to entertain me and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, and you had Nitro too and you couldn't wait and it was just. But I hate their product right now. And so it really. I don't know if it's. Like, this is the worst booked product they've ever had. I don't know if it's the worst product. When you talk about, like, you talk about creative sucking and when the trial was going on.
Yeah.
And their talent level. I mean, you look at, like, 94, 95. Like, the talent level was awful.
Well, we're flipped turned upside down right now because in the 90s, that mid-90s era where it sucked wiener.
Yeah.
It was, though, you had Owen and Davey Boy and Brett and Shawn all on top. An Undertaker, you had those guys that could work on top, and then
Undertaker was still learning to work. He was a long, long process, but he got good. But
yeah,
I know what you mean.
And even you know Scott Hall, Jeff Jarrett, you know, in that upper mid. But then and then you had just a drop off. You had the Doinks and the Duke the Dumpsters and the Teal Hoppers and the Goons. Like it was just this. Even guys,
the tag team division was just so sad.
Oh, there
was,
yeah.
You know, it's not like they didn't have a focus on it. Really, they just had no talent in it.
They were trying to focus on it with the Body Donnas and the fucking Guns and, you know, and the Godwins. But at that point, the whole tag team division was actually just focused around Sonny. It wasn't even focused around the actual wrestlers.
No, it's true. So, I mean, and that was it. You had some good talent up top, but you could only have those guys go against each other so many times. So you ended up having things like, you know, Diesel versus King Kong Bundy or main events and shit
Mabel
like that.
Or King Mabel. And
yeah, and really just awful, awful talent.
Yeah.
Like, and that was it. The booking wasn't bad. The story, you go back to the storylines, they're fine. They make sense. They're logical enough. They're okay, you know. That was the problem. There was no talent. Now, like you say, it's flipped because there's, it was a talent. Like the talent they have is just remarkable.
Yeah,
It's not as talent rich as WCW in its heyday.
Right.
But behind that, it might be the second most talented roster any company's ever had. You look how big it is.
I think so. Athletic
and everything. And yet, creative is awful.
They are, and they've never been more disorganized. right
no.
now.
No.
I mean, when you talk about Roman Reigns' babyface turn happened in or, you know, the seeds were planted since our last show and dropped. I mean, the number of things that have, the Shield and the Wyatts facing off at the end of that British Raw, you know, has come and gone since our last show. I mean, think of those things that have started and stopped, and it's been 3.5 weeks since our last show.
Yeah, I know. And you have like a whole bunch of them that started and stopped, and you also got, you know, something like this Total Divas, which some people are watching, some people aren't, you know, more people aren't, but you got that, and every storyline they have in there conflicts with the storyline generally on television.
Well, they have different names, and yeah, it's you know, she's Cameron, or she's Ariane, she's Trinity or Naomi, he's TJ or he's Tyson. It's like just,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But it has Vinny.
It does have Vinny. It's an awful show. It's also that you have the WWE, which is for kids, and they spend all this time promoting the show. And let's face it, I bet you it's equivalent of a 3-hour block. I bet you they spend almost 30 minutes a show promoting Total Divas.
Yeah.
When you look at the matches and the vignettes and the whatever, like Total Divas, you know, gets a lot of promotion. It's not for kids.
It is definitely not for kids.
Because here they have this product which is, it's for kids, it's for kids, it's for kids, we're PG.
Yeah.
Watch Total Divas too, where you'll have John Cena and you know,
Brie Bella has, or Nikki Bella has all her vibrators.
Has all her vibrators.
And Ariane says that she doesn't like sex because Vinny's penis is too big.
Yeah, and you know, they talk about anal sex and vibrators and infidelity and just, you know, yeah, boobs and
anal sex with vibrators.
Like, it is.
In Brie mode, where she gets hammered, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah.
The only thing that's actually working for, at least in the last couple weeks, was Eva Marie is definitely a heel.
Yes, but again,
that heel reaction.
Okay, she's getting, people boo her. Nobody likes her. She comes across very unlikable,
right,
on the show.
Yeah, can't work a lick.
Can't work a lick. She comes across very unlikable. She doesn't have any respect for the industry, which is why people don't like her. That's the ultimate thing.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is it's that she doesn't have any respect for the industry. She's obviously just there to get famous. She's not there because she has a passion.
No.
That's the heel reaction. Then they have her walking up to Michael Strahan going, I thought you'd want my autograph, which is designed to be a heel, but that's not why she, that's not the type of thing that's getting her the heel reaction. So they don't even get why she's a heel. So now they're going, oh, we should go with her.
Oh, no, of course they don't.
But they don't know how to book it.
Because they didn't book her as the heel.
No.
The E! Network did.
Well, she's just, I think, just her own personality.
But the way that they show her on the E! Network is a heel. So
yeah,
the E! Network has booked her as this heel, not the WWE people.
No.
Because they're not writing that show.
No, they're not.
So it's somebody totally different. So that's where they don't understand it, because they didn't do it themselves.
But it's not hard to figure out.
Well, for them it is. Because it's common fucking sense.
It is common fucking sense.
But the thing is, with Eva Marie, what do you do with her now that she's got this heat? And the only thing I could see is give her, you know, what do? You give her a tag team? Like, she can't work.
She can't work at all, no.
So she can't be a heel wrestler.
Well, that's the other thing. I'm looking at this 7-on-7 women's match they had without Layla.
Both times.
And I'm sitting there going, because we had talked about, I think it was probably 8 months ago, we said, oh, everybody's left, like, Eve Torres left, and
yeah,
fucking Beth Phoenix left, and, you know, everybody's leaving. We're like, oh, they should just shut it down, they got nobody, and now I'm looking at it going, well, they should just shut it down. They got tons of people.
Yeah. Well, apparently they have 14 people, but
15, like, I had no idea they had, yeah. And then, well, I mean, but all your best workers are down in
NXT. I'm going to say that you got, then you have Paige, and then you have, not that she's a good worker, but you got Charlotte, and you've got Emma, and you've got
Charlotte's Diana. Athletic as hell. That guy has, like, when he gets up
to
the women's division,
no, I know,
they'll be able to highlight him, because he's
I just,
see, but I'm like, I don't know if you can see him as Charlotte,
well,
I mean, you can definitely see the athleticism, the flair athleticism in Charlotte Flair.
The problem with Charlotte,
he's I don't know that he's really going to be
no, the problem,
championship material.
Honestly, the honest to God problem with Charlotte is this is again goes back to their disorganization with booking. Is that like they had Charlotte on the main roster and they called him Nicole Bass.
Yeah, I know.
And they can't even remember their own gimmicks.
I know. And they have him up there again. You know, what are we going to do? Bring him up again?
Yeah.
You know, call him to Charlotte Bass?
Well, it's better than having her go down.
Yeah, you don't want that.
No.
No.
But, I mean, you've got a handful of the women again.
Look at that. Charlotte, he's a bit masculine. Now, I'm not saying, for a diva.
Right.
That should be a good thing. It's like I was listening to the Jim Cornette Experience, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And on MLW Radio there. And, you know, he does this show twice a week now.
Oh, is he okay? I haven't heard of that. I gotta.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll hook you up after we're done here because I bought the year's membership. I can recommend it to people. It's extra, you get extra Jim Cornette show and all this behind the scenes stuff. $15 a fucking year.
Wow.
Yeah. So you get one free show and then you get an extra show. And it's good stuff. But Jim Cornette's talking about, he's like, they were talking about, you know, the women. They were talking about Luna Vachon because mm-hmm. they were talking about Mad Dog Vachon's passing
away. Right, yeah.
And Luna Vachon, of course,
dead too,
but they were talking about how great she was because, especially nowadays, how great she would be because you have, like it used to be you had one good-looking woman, Kurt Bowers, this was his point. It used to be, okay, you have all these women, they're all these beasts, and so when you had a Sable, she really stood out. Miss Elizabeth would really stand out.
Right.
And Sonny would really, because there wasn't everybody looking like a Barbie.
Beauty stood out.
And he's like, yeah. And then Jim Cornette says, you know, it's like, yeah, exactly. And Jim Cornette says, well, exactly, you need some of these women who look like Lena or Luna uh-huh. to beat up on the Barbies to get the sympathy.
Well, that's where Awesome Kong Karma came in.
Well, exactly. That was why she worked. And that's the one thing I can say about Charlotte. He can get up there, and because he is bigger and just looks more like a dude mm-hmm. than these other divas, he can kind of get the, theoretically, he could have a good role, get the heat on them. Over at TNA, you got, you know, what's her name? Lele Tapa or whatever. The different, what's the name?
Layla Tapa, yeah.
Yeah. That's a different look.
Yeah.
And you have Gail Kim right now challenging people outside the company. Anybody can come in and try and take this title off me. I figure it's leading to Awesome Kong coming back.
I think what you do, well, maybe, but what I think you do well, and that could very well be now that Hogan and Bischoff and all them are gone.
Yeah.
Is that would be, and really that's where, and then you go again, you try to, I mean, memories are never as good the second time around, but
because Nicole Bass, he couldn't work a lick when he was Nicole Bass, but now that he's Charlotte Flair,
yeah,
he might be able to work a little bit.
Well, but all you have to do
he's very athletic.
See, but he's the kind of guy that you can hook up with, like the primetime players.
Oh yeah,
you know, and be like the bodyguard of the primetime players, because then you have Ric Flair's offspring, who's seconding Darren Young. Who can go in as the dirtiest player who is gay. So it's a natural fit, I think.
You know I'm too lazy to edit that out, but I'd love to.
Why? Because Darren Young is gay, you want to edit that out? You can't edit that kind of stuff. People are who they are, Mo, and it's okay.
I fucking hate you.
He likes to take it up the ass from other men. That's okay, Mo. That's okay.
See, the dirtiest player in the game was the same. And so Addy, he used the G and A. And then he replaced that with the M and E with something else.
Right. Yeah.
See, that's why it was clever.
That's what I do.
I hate you.
It's what I do.
So anyway,
so we're talking about how many divas there are and why they suck.
Yeah, well, there's just I couldn't believe there was that many mm-hmm. because honestly, I mean, you're looking at a lot of these guys and you're like, why is Chris Hero fucking gone? And you know, whatever it is there, like you know, Oksana or you know, it makes no sense to me. But you know, why is CJ Parker still down in NXT and Chris Hero's gone? I don't get it.
Yeah, that could CJ Parker. I watched NXT, was it yesterday or the day before? I think it was yesterday.
Well, that's my second favorite wrestling program. Behind ROH.
Yeah, yesterday afternoon I watched it, and
thank God for the main event.
The producer, who's also a teacher and it's report card time, was procrastinating and trying to do everything in her power not to do these report cards.
That's good to know our education system.
Was watching NXT with me. That's why I looked at her. I'm like, this is how I know you really don't want to do these. You're watching NXT with me right now. But she watched it, and her one comment was that...
Should turn the football game. We keep on looking at NFL Red Zone.
I know.
I want to follow the fantasy, but on the other hand, it's obviously a distraction.
I know, right? It's I keep looking up. But anyway, she does enjoy Adrian Neville because she enjoys the Fippy Doos.
Oh, he hit the man that gravity forgot.
Yes, she does like Adrian Neville. And yeah, it was a great Adrian Neville-Sami Zayn match.
Yeah, it saved the show. Because other than that, it wasn't that good a show. But that match was great. And that's fine. I mean, you know.
And Bo Dallas.
On commentary?
I love his smile.
Yes.
Just that complete insincere smile. But, like, he is not smart.
Renee Young was messing with him.
Renee Young was feeding him so many, this is where if you know what you're doing, if you're a smart motherfucker, every question she asked him, the answer was Bo something.
Yes.
Bo Olivia, unbelievable, Bo this, Bo that.
Well, he said Bo Olivable three times, like he repeated himself. He couldn't even come up with something else.
But she did, and she was the obvious answer to him, and he just was not.
He joined for the main event. He joined them on commentary, and was I can't remember who the announcer was, but Renee Young was sitting there in color commentary. And yeah, she was feeding him, but after a little while, when he started fucking up, you could see she started going, "You're not smart." She started fucking with him.
Yeah,
feeding him stuff, knowing now that he was gonna fuck
it up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Going watch him fuck it up.
Yeah.
And she was having fun.
Like, oh yeah,
you know. And
it kind of was.
Yeah, it was. It was, you know, he's like, yeah. When you ask him, where have you been on your world tour? And he's already used the line Bolivia in the past. He pauses and you just hear the grind or gears grinding in his head trying to come up some place.
What was your favorite place?
Bolivia. Yeah.
And he didn't know. He's like, I can't just pick one. And it's like, no.
Just say Bolsten. Just come up with, like, it's not that fucking hard.
No, exactly. You know? And this is where he's not, I mean, it's a combination of, like, when you hear about the...
But he's also been, he's been there for, I think he's 24, I think he's been there 3-4 years.
Well, we saw him fight in the dark match against Wade Barrett. What was that, 2011?
2011, yeah.
Yeah, so
he's been 3 years. He's been at least 3 years down there, and because we'd heard about him before that.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's not like he's trained to think on his feet. I mean, they treat him the opposite. You know, he's...
Well, yes and no.
To be...
But here's the guys that make it. I mean, let's talk about The Rock. And how many times did we hear The Rock sit there and say, you know what, I'm just sitting there and I will wake up in the middle of the night and I'll have a pad and a paper beside me and I'll wake up in the middle of the night and go, oh shit, that's good. And he'd write it down and he'd remember it and he'd take it. That's all fucking, if this is your character, is to be Bo this and Bo that.
Listen to Steve Austin podcast. He gets on there and he starts talking. He doesn't stop. It's not like he has something written for him or even any more than a couple of notes. He calls it in the ring when he gets on his podcast, as we do here. It's the same thing. The innate ability to talk is there. Like, I wonder how many of these guys would have been good talkers, you know, back in the day.
Like, to me, he's the classic example of missing... Foley going down the road, reciting the promo to himself over and over in the car, and just saying stuff and talking to himself in the car. And I mean, all Bo Dallas has to do is spend a couple hours of his own time thinking about his character, and it comes off very obvious to me here that he's not doing that.
Well, none of them do. I mean, that's when I look at again.
None of them do. I just
no. Really, honestly,
I bet you.
Where are the gimmicks?
Well, Aiden English, may come and think of some stuff. I don't know. I wouldn't think that that would come off the top of the head, and maybe it's written for him. Who knows? But it's not that everybody doesn't do it. All I'm saying is that they could.
No, I mean, the thing is that when you're watching vintage or you're watching some of these DVDs of the past, you're looking at the gimmicks, and like there's nothing that gives me a sense. Like, okay, you look at CJ Parker. We talked about him at NXT. He's awful.
He is.
He's awful. like a druggy flower child type hippie. It's the easiest, dumbest, simplest gimmick to think of.
Yeah.
And these guys, they even on the indies, you see it. You know, they come up with. I mean, Tyler Breeze is another one. Yeah. You know? But this is not I like the fact he's taking a selfie. It's at least it's
yeah. I like his Titantron there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's modern. I'll give it that. But at the end of the day, you're still Rick the Model Martel. There's nothing.
But I don't even mind that. I don't even mind that he's Rick the Model Martel because it's been so long since we've had a Rick the Model Martel. I'm fine with doing another one. But the fact is that he doesn't have any. Again, the difference between him and Rick Martel is that Rick Martel come off as, again, he spent time doing the character. You're the model now, dude. You could tell. Where Tyler Breeze, again, is a guy that he does a Zoolander pouty lips. He takes selfies. And his promos are, again, he doesn't have a promo that doesn't read like, I just read this.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the main roster and... Not a lot of guys have gimmicks, you know. Like,
yeah, I mean,
they do and they don't. Like, it's like they're told what they're gonna be, and then they go out there and that's their gimmick. But it's not like they have any. It doesn't feel like anybody invests any of themselves in the gimmick anymore. And that's it. I mean,
well, let's look at the guys.
I mean, does Dolph Ziggler have a gimmick? Yes. Is it really, really hard to come up with that gimmick? No. On the other hand, in the old days, would that gimmick have started what it was and over the years evolved in something more? Yes, and that's what's lacking.
Well, his gimmick is you are arrogant guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now it's you are a jobber. But yeah. It's, I mean, Bray Wyatt, I mean, did his own thing and invested himself and got called up.
And
that's where you go, and hell, that's his brother. So Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas, they're brothers. And Bray Wyatt come up and he was Husky Harris and he had a good look and everybody thought that was, you know, he's got some potential there. And then he went down and like, oh, we really liked him. But then he reinvented himself. He was Bray Wyatt. He really took and harnessed this character. And you know that Bray Wyatt spent time at home sitting there to develop this character. And
I know that I can tell this guy when he's on the road. Mm-hmm. I know he's thinking of his character.
Yeah. And
you can tell.
And that's where the guys that make it and the guys that don't. I Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, I'm sure, are thinking about stuff. They're probably thinking about moves, but you know what I mean? But they're thinking about stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. That's the difference between
them. It's funny because, you know, I don't want the cartoon characters. That's not what I'm looking for. But I am looking for the sense that if you're just coming out and you're just a character who, say you come out and you're arrogant and you spray your hair to keep it really, really fresh, like Zima Ion or something like that.
Right.
If that's all your character is and there's nothing evolving from it and there's no sense that it's like, okay, this is a gimmick that's not original.
Right.
Let's build it from that, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, instead of, here's a gimmick, good enough.
And Zima Ion.
And actually, I think that's what's lacking right now.
Zima Ion is actually the perfect example because he's like a Model Martel type thing, but
exactly.
He's more original.
I don't know.
It does. I'm not effing pretty and pretty effing awesome or whatever.
I'm effing dangerous or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean that's a difference. That's a gimmick. That's a catchphrase that he can call his own. That's you know, again, he's got the big goofy hair. He's a guy that doesn't come off. I mean. Tyler Breeze, his first thing that I think he said on promo was, yes, I am a model.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? That is exactly what Rick Martel said. At least Zima Ion has taken the same gimmick and done different things to it and tried to make it his own as much as he can. And that's fine. I don't mind. I mean, fuck, there'll be another cowboy. There's the cowboy jigs, the cowboys is black guys. There's always going to be a fucking cowboy.
Cowboy Harry Smith.
It's, yeah, exactly. There's going to be fucking hillbillies and shit. And that's basically what the Wyatts are, fucking the hillbillies.
Hillbillies 2013.
Yeah, and that's fine. But update it, modernize, make your own, take your own, and do it. And that's what... that's what these guys that are going to stay in NXT for a long, long time. And the problem is... of Bo Dallas is that they've given him the title, and that seems to be the
but they don't work. I mean, part of it is the guys are not investing enough in themselves, but part of it is that they don't work with them either. I mean, look at Sheamus. What's Sheamus' gimmick? That he's Irish. Yeah. He sure said that's the gimmick.
Yep.
Well, he is Irish.
Yeah.
And there's nothing.
So he's doing a good job.
So there's nothing extra that he's done or they've done. Just that he's hot Irish. And now he's a nice guy. And before he was a bully. That's it.
Yeah.
And that's not enough. Like, for everything that Russo cannot book, he can at least help you find an original take on a character. Most of the time. Or at least he was able to at one point.
At one point.
That
WCW was... Remember fucking Chavo the Amway Salesman?
Yeah, that was
that. And Buzzkill, and fucking...
I don't remember Buzzkill, though.
Buzzkill was the other Armstrong.
Oh, yeah.
Brad Armstrong.
Actually, I didn't mind that. It's...
No, that was him trying to be his brother.
Exactly. But you know what? At least it was trying to... Well, it was him trying to be his brother, but then acknowledging, hey, your brother's more... You are a better worker, but he's more charismatic. Why don't you be like his brother? So he's going out there trying to be his brother. At that point, it worked, actually, if they'd been in the same company. The problem was in different companies. It just looked like a ripoff.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. To me, it's just...
Gronkowski's a man.
I know. But I just think that some of these guys, it's like... I don't know how you're gonna take it to that next level. I mean, and it's not that they're not trying. I mean, we talk about the bad, but I mean, there is
the tag team division has gotten a great focus. They need to do a better job of rotating in and out the different guys and setting teams up as being the top of the division, the bottom of the division, and setting it as a division where you can move up and down and whatever.
See,
but. And you know, not just keep the same guys out there, but they put a better focus on it, and they are doing better.
The problem to me right now is, yeah, the tag team's good. I also look at,
need a drink?
Yeah, sure.
Just bring a water?
Just water's good, yeah. I mean, the tag team stuff where you're looking at it, there's lots of teams, and they're focusing on it, and that's fine. Well, I mean, the Biggie Langston and Roman Reigns, stuff that's just started. I like that. Again, though, I this is the other part of me, the cynical side of me, that says, again, how many things have changed, since we did our last show. How many things are going to change since our next show when we talk about what they're doing with Roman Reigns and what's his name? Big E Langston, right? I mean, it's just... It seems like a good idea now, but I don't have any real confidence in them to sustain it. And then you couple that with the fact that, you've got their glass ceiling again, where you're pulling these guys off with, you know, Daniel Bryan's been kidnapped by the Wyatts, and CM Punk is going to fight the Shield, and it's like all of this stuff is supposed to, in their minds, is supposed to elevate Punk or elevate the Shield and the Wyatts.
Well, again, I'll get back to Survivor Series a little bit. The idea of Dan O'Brien versus and CM Punk versus the Wyatts, elevate the Wyatts. So every scene, so they have a bunch of matches leading into Survivor Series. They're singles matches, and Punk and Bryan win every single one. Then you get to the Survivor Series, and Punk and Bryan win.
Yeah.
And just being in there and being competitive doesn't make you. And they have to understand, it's like, yeah, those guys are your stars. Punk and Bryan are, they're your stars. But you have to be able to judge when can these guys lose and not have it hurt them, and when can they win and not have it hurt the other guy. And they really don't have an ability to do that. I mean, we talk about why we did a show a while ago. I wish we could do it. We could do it again, because we did not go enough into it. It was a bigger project than I realized, but we did the Why Are Daniel Bryan and CM Punk Superstars and Not Megastars.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that we leave out of that conversation that's being fucked worse than any of them is Ryback.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And
but that's probably okay.
Well, to some degree, that's probably okay. But the point is that they, again, you don't know how to make a star. Like CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, They didn't make them. They got made despite them.
Yeah, but Ryback also recently, I mean, as much as they were doing, Ryback fucked
himself. Well, that's okay.
Ryback fucked himself.
Well, yes, he did. But you know what? It's because he got stupid. He wanted a match with Goldberg.
Yeah.
So he did a spear and a jackhammer in a match.
Yeah.
Hope, I don't know. And they didn't have a deal with him, and he got in shit for that.
Yeah. And Goldberg just, you know, recently spoke out about that they're talking. And that he's not, him and...
But Ryback has jumped the gun.
Yeah. Yeah, Ryback jumped the gun, and now he's got...
Well, you know what, it's not really worth having heat over. It's one time, one move, on SmackDown, whatever. But that's them, though.
Well, and the fact is, though, is that timing is everything, and I mean, realistically, Ryback's been put out of the picture for so long, and he's been doing the losing and stuff, that now that he does that one thing, there are no plans for Ryback currently. I mean, you think about the Royal Rumble that we attended last January, Ryback was the last guy John Cena clotheslined over the top rope to win.
Yes.
And now, he's going to be lucky to not be like the fifth entrant in the Rumble.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like an after five
guy, yeah. And so
he only got eliminated by Tyson Kidd in the hey surprise spot.
Yeah,
that won't be any mean anything. You know? Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. I mean, like I say, they fucked him.
But like I said, that's probably okay.
Well, you know what? I'll say this. Even though he did the Goldberg spear and jackhammer. At least it's because he fucking obviously cares. He's trying to get people's attention. I mean, it's a political landmine. I mean, at some point, there might have been a point where somebody does that and Vince would have gotten excited about it.
Yeah.
You know, like...
I don't think so because, again, they like to control and I don't think that's necessarily... I can understand them being pissed. And quite frankly, if Ryback does some jobs right now, he was doing jobs before he was in the doghouse, he's doing jobs now that he's in the doghouse.
But he had potential at one point. When, you know, before they fucked him
up. A year ago, he had potential.
Yeah,
when he really matched him up against Punk, and then and he was still had some strong when it was him and Kane and Bryan.
I don't think he lost his potential until WrestleMania. When he lost to Mark Henry, then he immediately gets a shot at Cena afterward, yeah. Then he loses a bunch there.
Yeah.
And then he goes on and faces Punk and he loses a bunch. Like every single time he seems to get a fresh shot. Okay, now he'll get a fresh shot. Okay, he's against Cena, he'll get a fresh shot. Maybe they'll fix what the damage they've done. No, they do more damage. And now he's against Punk, he's with Heyman. Okay, they'll fix, no, they do more damage. So I mean, it's now to the point where he's unsalvageable. But again, I mean, if you look at what he drew that first time against Punk, I mean, this is what you want to do. You want to. I mean, nobody's ever been able to draw in this business unless you were able to make people believe. And on that night, people paid for that show because he had been on a winning streak, and people believed he might win the belt, and it would be a surprise.
Yeah.
And the same thing. I mean, we talk about these gimmicks not working anymore. It's because when I look at Tyler Breeze, he doesn't make me believe. Bray Wyatt makes me believe.
The thing with Tyler Breeze is that, and where you just kind of look at him and go, oh yeah, is because
The Miz doesn't make me believe.
Well, Miz makes me believe in faggots is what the Miz makes me believe in. Miz makes me believe in cock sucking motherfuckers is what the Miz makes.
That's
me
That's better because there's nothing wrong with
Darren Young.
No.
So, but
no, there isn't.
Well, then why did you say there was earlier?
I hate you.
Let's talk about the Miz for a second. Speaking of the fucking Miz,
this is a perfect example of how they fuck things up.
Well, about how, remember we talked about how they changed their mind about 75 fucking times.
Yeah,
his Miz is going to go heel. He goes heel on Twitter. He goes heel on the house shows. He does the Mega Powers explode walk away tag match against Kofi, and then they go, oh fuck, he's got a Christmas movie coming out next week. He's a baby face.
Yeah, he was just showing that he had a little fire in him, and they're trying to sell it. And you're like, no, you can't.
Yeah. Oh, and then him and Titus O'Neil and Michael Strahan.
Oh.
Wrestling's fake, everyone.
Yeah, wrestling's fake. Well, I mean, the Wyatt family, Eric Rowan there, giving the sheep mask to Michael Strahan. it's not as devastating, but it's along the same lines as Goldberg wearing a Gold Dust wig.
Yeah.
It's that same...
Speaking of which, the Michael Strahan, when Eva Marie says, I just thought you'd want my autograph, and then the next person to show up is Gold Dust, and he just stares at him. Like, I was in tears laughing. It was funny. Just Gold Dust having that look on Strahan, I'm like, please kiss him. I can't wait to see. It's so funny.
It's funny, but it's counterproductive.
No, well, not that part of it. I mean, the sheet mask, yes, the whole hip toss bullshit Miz TV thing was retarded. And it's like, they do this whole thing, they get mad at each other, they do this whole hip toss, and then they all stand up and raise each other's hand, Michael Strahan, everybody!
And yeah.
Like, that was the worst thing I have ever seen on wrestling.
The Divas...
That is the worst thing I've ever
seen. Divas...
No, really.
Divas... what was it? Chairs, what was the Divas Chairs thing that they did there?
The musical chairs? No, yeah. No, not even that.
The Divas musical chairs was Divas, so fucking bad.
Divas musical chairs was so bad, but you know what it was? It was so bad, and then they brawled, and it was the Total Divas versus the Not Total Divas, and there was a point in that it sucked, but there was a point in terms of, okay, they were going to have a match. So on a story, this was take a bow, the curtain has come down, the show is over, and now we're just real people. This was a wrestling...
Actually, it does make you think back to the... wrestling's fake. You're right. It makes you go back to the whole... I mean, why were you ever so mad at one point about the curtain call in New York then? But this is on TV. That was in front of 17,000 people. Ultimately, I knew about it.
And now they're just like, and they're just wiggling. That was our fake skit. Thank you for watching it.
And they do that all the time, though. And like I said, this is
not as blatant as that.
Steve Austin was able to make you believe, like, you go back, going down, so after the show, everybody, go on YouTube, call up Steve Austin versus Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
When Steve Austin comes out, gets in his face, you know Mike Tyson will kick the shit out of him in life.
After that skit, Austin get on the mic and go, oh, Mike Tyson, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
No.
No, but that's the thing is, what I'm saying is, when you're watching that skit, you know in real life that Mike Tyson would destroy Steve Austin in a fight.
Yeah.
But when I watch that, to this day, even though I know that and it's all these years later, when I see them on screen together, in the back of my mind I'm going, maybe Tyson Austin would have a shot. Because he believed it. And he made you believe.
And
you
wanted to see it.
You wanted to see it.
Yeah.
And you know, Bret Hart was able to make you believe he really was the technically best. Hulk Hogan could make you believe he was the most...
Hulk Hogan could make you... Hulk Hogan could probably make people jump off a bridge in 1988 with just his promos and his larger-than-life persona. He could make people do anything.
The Rock could make you believe he really was the most explosive, most energetic, charismatic guy. Shawn Michaels can make you believe he was the biggest underdog. You know, their ability to make you believe, everybody who's ever drawn in this industry could make you believe a couple things at once. More than one thing, usually. A couple things. Maybe one thing just really well. Usually a couple things or more really well. Like, Steve Austin can make you believe that, A, he was the toughest son of a bitch, and B, that he would do anything to win. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, you know, again, Miz can't make me believe anything. Even in this era, I have trouble believing a CM Punk. You know what I mean? And he's a great promo.
Yeah.
But you still have trouble believing a CM Punk because of all this shit like the Michael Strahan and all this stuff. It's impossible to ever believe.
I mean,
what do you believe about Randy Orton?
Oh, fuck. I believe that they could chant Randy Savage during his matches. And I mean, that thing against the Big Show was just a fucking abortion.
Yes.
Holy shit. And it's like, and now they're going to do John Cena and Randy Orton in a title unification match.
Let's get to one of our questions that we got here.
Because
we got a couple of questions here. This is from Tom Tom Tyrannus.
Okay.
Tyrannus.
Oh, okay.
He's saying, he put this in the comment section, so you can reach us, comment, Twitter, email.
Yeah.
ADD at We Talk Wrestling.
ADDIE.
Yeah, ADD. IE?
IE!
At WeTalkWrestling.com?
.com.
Yeah. And at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter, and of course the comments in our section here. And he asked us this, he said...
comment section on WeTalkWrestling.
On WeTalkWrestling.com.
Yes, finish the sentence.
Fuck you. What?
What?
Huh?
Okay, get to the question.
The question from is from Tom Tom Tyranus.
Who's anus?
Ties.
Fine.
Getting rid of the WCW world title is a mistake. Now we won't get guys like Cody, Barrett, and Cesaro winning Money in the Bank. As a result, that pay-per-view and concept as a whole is weakened. Also, WCW title acted as an attainable title for mainstays like Kofi, Santino, and Dolph. We know they have zero chance of the world title. Morale will die. Imagine how depressed guys like Mysterio, Henry, Kane would have been if they hadn't won that title and been kept waiting on the sidelines. Thoughts?
Okay. Well, my first thought is that Kane and Mysterio were WWF champions as well. So
come on, Mysterio was WWF champion after he was world champion, and it probably helped his morale to held that title a little bit. So he's right there, and also
helped his morale.
Kane helped the title for one.
Talk about their morale.
Kane helped the title for one day.
My morale is low. Well, get another fucking job then. Seriously, there is one goddamn company in this industry, and if your morale is fucking low,
it matters.
Go fucking pump gas at the Jiffy Lube and fucking let someone else take your spot then. Who gives a shit about their morale? The fact of the matter is that there's two world titles, and the fact is getting rid of, if you get rid of one of them, the only thing that can help is that you have less championships so that maybe they mean more. And that's, I mean, they're not going to. The fact is that this unification thing serves to do is it's a gimmick because it's easy, because they have no other ideas, so let's do this. This should be a WrestleMania match.
Oh, yeah, one champion should have the belt for like 400 days, another champion held for like 300 days, and they should have beaten all other challengers, and it should be it. Settle who's really the best. You know, like
instead, they're both coming off of shitty programs. It is a thrown together bullshit that it's going to happen in like 3 weeks, and they're going to do this ladder match with two belts.
The speculation is that they'll just flip the belts. They're not going to use it. Well, again, no, because you're advertising, you're unifying this. Okay, if you don't do so, you say, who gives a fuck? The few people that are still paying. Like, I'm looking at the mistakes they did with Daniel Bryan and then getting screwed over and over and over and all the bad finishes to people who paid for the pay-per-views.
Yep.
I'm looking at the Big Show and the bad finish to that match.
Yep.
And I'm looking just at the way they're booking their guys and they're starting and stopping and changing people and not changing them and all this shit. And they're making so many of the mistakes that put WCW out of business.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And, I'm not saying that they're going to go out of business because people tune in on
Monday.
Well, not just because they have too much money, but because people tune in on a Monday night because they don't. That's what they do. It's now what they do.
I don't think that matters. I think they have too much. They're too, you know, they're like, they're the banks. They're too big to fail.
Yeah.
No, I mean, at least in the short term. I mean, they probably will go out of business eventually, but they're not going to go out of business anytime soon because of
the they're going out of business. I mean, yeah. But they are making the mistakes that WCW made. And if they were in a different era where there was a good competition, this could actually hurt them. But it won't.
The losing of the... If in fact, let's say they lost to WCW, but I agree with you, the speculation is that there's going to be some form of fuck finish, and it's all again going to be a who gives a fuck. And then now you can then pay $15 a month to watch these pay-per-views.
We will get to that in a moment here.
The thing is, being a mistake to get rid of the WCW belt? No, because
you don't have two shows anymore. You don't have separate brand pay-per-views. You don't need four belts.
And really, okay, well, who did he mention? Let's see, he said that Kofi, Santino, Dolph have zero chance of the WCW title.
The WWE title.
Well, whatever. No, they don't, without the belt. So let's just say that Kofi, Santino, and Dolph got the big gold belt. The world title. Right?
Sure.
Who gives a fuck?
Well,
what does that mean? What does that do? Dolph Ziggler had it, and now we're...
It meant something when Christian got it, right?
It
meant something when...
The night after WrestleMania, when Ziggler won it... Edge was the last champion to make that belt.
The night after WrestleMania, when Ziggler got it, it meant something. That's not true. It can mean something still. It means more than fucking nothing. It does.
That was the Money in the Bank cash in that meant something. That wasn't the big gold belt that meant anything.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, the big gold... When was the last time the big gold fucking belt meant anything?
Well, right now...
And it doesn't mean anything. That's what I'm saying. Your biggest fucking star... I just watched the history of WWF for 50 years of history of WWF, and coming out of that, I thought they did this big piece about John Cena, and I'm like, fuck John Cena. And then I said, fuck, John Cena's been on top for 10 years. John Cena's been on top for a fifth of this company's fucking existence. And that is sad. And he's got the big gold belt, and who gives a fuck? He fought Alberto Del Rio, and that's part of the problem, too, is that these fucking flip-flop pancake championship bullshits. But you watch it, and he fought Alberto Del Rio in, what, a mid-card match?
Yeah.
At Survivor Series, the biggest star you've had in 10 years has got this big gold championship. It doesn't mean shit. The WWF championship doesn't mean shit, but it says WWF championship on it, and so it's their company to do it.
It means something. Within the industry, it still doesn't mean as much as it used to. Not even close.
Titles don't mean anything.
Well, the titles mean, wins and losses in general.
Exactly. So then when the wins and losses don't mean anything, your titles don't mean anything because it doesn't matter if the champion is the guy that wins the most big matches. And when wins and losses don't mean anything, you don't have big matches to win and lose, it doesn't matter that you're the champ.
So I think they'd be better off. I mean, historically, they've had two belts when they had two belts, and then eventually they added a third, the European title.
Mm-hmm.
The hardcore title and whatever. Historically two belts, and WCW historically had three. I think they should have. I think three singles belts is fine. Two is fine. Three is fine. I don't think it's really any different. Four, no. You just can't have four.
The thing is, the other part about it is that your WWF champion and your world championship essentially are redundant. Because it's like, who's the heavyweight champ? I mean, that used to be
What John Cena was saying.
That used to be the question.
Who's the real champ?
Who's the champion? But nobody asks that anymore because nobody gives
John
a fuck.
John Cena just said. Time.
Oh, yeah, good for John Cena. But then you had your Intercontinental Championship, you were in WCW or US Champion, and that was like your next level, and then WCW had your TV Championship, right? But,
yeah.
I mean, it's a situation where ideally you go down to you unify this and you don't do a fuck finish and then Dean Ambrose goes, you know what, they just did some unification and who's the Intercontinental Champion? Big E Langston. So now Big E, let's do the same thing, right? They have a match, and then now there's two belts again, and to me that's the way to go. Because, I mean, as much as we talk about all this massive talent,
and as much as we talk about
this morale, you know what? If there's two belts to go after, not four belts to go after, people should be working that much harder to fucking...
It also, to me, if you go down to two singles belts, especially with an added, emphasis on the tag team division, theoretically, those tag team belts mean much more. So, because there should be your singles belts to hold, right? So that's good too, right?
I mean, less is more in terms of the belts.
And you can have four. I mean, you could even have four singles belts if you had a WWE championship, and you had another one that was a secondary title. That's fine. Then you had a hardcore one. Then you had a cruiserweight one. That's fine because they all have their own.
Yeah, their own niche.
Their own division, their own rankings and whatever. That's fine if you're going to do that.
Other than
the fact that it's supposedly, that it headlines the pay-per-views and it supposedly means more, there's really no difference between the U.S. title and the WWE championship. There's nothing.
Exactly. So why do you need to? And it's because, you know what, then that just means people work harder. I mean, let's just look at it. And I mean, when you had the don't spit in my face John Cena Nexus Freed or Fired, I think Roddy Piper probably said it the best when he was, you know, he sat there and he said, you know, Ted DiBiase, right? Never WWF champion. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, never WWF champion. Jake the Snake Roberts, never WWF champion. The list of these
Hall of Fame
superstar
guys.
Hall of Fame guys have never been WWF champion. And so the fact that Dolph Ziggler has had a cup of coffee with a big gold belt, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, that's true.
And you know what? And
Jake Roberts, never Intercontinental champion.
No.
You know, not a single belt. He never held a single one.
No.
You know?
And it's, yeah, it didn't affect his career. You know what I mean?
Well, no, because he was able to go into programs that mattered still. He was still able to get programs. He was on a program. But, you know, they were still able to create feuds that mattered.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you can give Big E Langston the. Well, let's look back to, I remember when. I think it was Jeff Hardy, or maybe it was Jeff Hardy, even before that. I mean, they've had a lot of guys. Actually, you know who it was? Shelton Benjamin. I remember this. Yeah. Shelton Benjamin had the Intercontinental Championship for months and months and months.
Yeah.
Like, he held it for like 8-9 months. And he had like 3 matches on pay-per-view. And not a single feud in that 9 months. You know, maybe, like, it's like he would get attacked by Maven, and then he'd beat him next week. And that was the feud.
Yeah.
And having the belt doesn't get you over.
Remember, London and Kendrick had the tag titles for, like, 400 and whatever days.
Yes.
But they didn't defend it for, like, 4 months in a row.
Yes, exactly, because they never put it. So, being in a program, being in a feud, a blood feud means a shit of a lot more than having the belt.
Yeah.
It always has.
Mm-hmm.
Except for maybe the World Championship back in the day where you'd be guaranteed a feud and a belt. But like I say, even why is Jake Roberts... Jake Roberts is... I consider Jake Roberts a bigger star than some of the guys that held that Intercontinental belt. Why?
Oh, well, yeah. And
because he was in better feuds.
Yeah, because he was fighting... he was fighting... He had a feud with the Honky Tonk Man. He had a feud with Andre the Giant. Look at the once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
That wasn't for the belt.
No.
Like, the Rock and Cena wasn't for the
Not
belt.
The first time, and it meant more the first time than it did the second time
that's
for
right.
the belt.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's the thing, and when you're talking about people aspiring to it, people should just aspire to be the WWF champion. And if you're not the WWF champion, then you should be nothing. And
But again, it comes down to the really bad booking. They don't build feuds. They don't know how to build blood feuds. They overcomplicate it. They do too much funny stuff and we're fake stuff.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, this is why, like I said, I don't know if the talent was so bad in those early 90s. And the booking it was really bad around 2002.
Yeah.
Right before WrestleMania 20.
Yeah.
You know, in that range. And then now, I'm not sure which one of these three eras is the worst. I think this is my least favorite, though.
And yeah,
that's bad enough.
Well, and part of the fact that it's my least favorite is because there is too much stuff available to me now. Again,
well, that's a big part of it too.
3 hours, 2 hours of SmackDown. I mean, it's you got.
I rarely watch SmackDown anymore.
I know.
Because it's. They've even said to us, you know, when's the last time that angle happened on SmackDown that mattered on a pay-per-view?
It
mattered, you know, that was trying to build up the pay-per-view and really meant something.
When's the last
time? And they really put an emphasis on it.
When's the last time on Raw they said, let's show you what happened here on SmackDown?
Yeah.
Even, you know?
Yeah.
To the point where when, like, John Cena's going to be on SmackDown, they're like, John Cena, going to make an appearance on SmackDown! And it's like, that's like the selling point to watch SmackDown.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, they're...
When I have so much other stuff to watch...
Yeah.
And because Raw is 3 hours and generally pretty shitty, especially lately...
Yeah, there's maybe...
It really doesn't make you want to watch... Why am I going to go for another 2 hours?
Well, and then
and there was a period there when... Remember when Edge was there and then when Vicky was in charge? That era where, yes, okay, still wasn't getting the emphasis, but it was the wrestling show.
But the performances were good. Yes, it was always the wrestling show. You always
it was
that,
the wrestling show.
It was
the wrestling.
Kofi, Jack Swagger, Dolph Ziggler, all those guys.
We don't have as much time to put the angles into it, so we're just going to have a bunch of wrestling matches, and that's where I got my wrestling matches
and it was good wrestling.
Yeah.
So it gave me a reason why I would actually enjoy it more than Raw.
Even
but I still felt like I needed to watch Raw.
Even a year ago, it was like Daniel Bryan was having a great match on SmackDown every week.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just...
But again, it comes down to, like, if you're going to have Damian Sandow versus Dolph Ziggler, with, hey, guys, let's just have a hardcore match out of nowhere for no reason, not settling anything. And we're going to have two of them 2 weeks in a row. All your matches are going to mean nothing.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, Vince McMahon has forgotten. He thinks that he's a president of an entertainment company. And he forgot that what he actually is a promoter.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't promote the product or the matches or anything like that at all. And so...
Well, the main part of the problem is that...
You want to promote entertainment, that's fine, but you still got to fucking promote.
No. And to me, that's not even the problem. The problem, to me, is that he's the chairman, he's the CEO, he wants to be the chairman of the CEO of this entertainment company.
Yeah.
The problem is that it's not entertaining.
No, it's
and that's
not.
The part of entertainment, is that you actually have to be entertaining. Yeah. And you are not, and they don't know... As I said, they don't have a focus, and this is part of the now is, and that's what I said to you even, is that thank God, okay, we're doing this show now, we're going to be back at regular, and thank God that it's December, because we can do a bunch of year in review shit,
yeah,
and hurry up and get past this crap, because we got another 6 weeks until the Royal Rumble.
And that's the thing, you know, as much as we're shitting on this, and Survivor Series was shit, and what's the pay-per-view coming up again? What's it called?
Tables, Ladders, and Chairs.
Yeah, and I'm not watching it. And I guarantee you I'm ordering Royal Rumble. I don't know if I'm ordering WrestleMania.
No.
But I guarantee you I'm ordering Royal Rumble.
Right.
You know? And that's... They got that, right, at least.
Well, and the thing is, at this point, the funny part about it is that, to me, right now, what I'm waiting for is... It's not even... I'll watch the Royal Rumble. And
I guarantee you I'll watch the Royal Rumble.
But the thing is, at this point, right now, as I sit here, what I can't wait for at WrestleMania is... I can't wait for Hulk Hogan's return at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I'm looking forward to right now, is Hulk Hogan returning at WrestleMania. And you talk about every year, you know, with Rock coming back, and this guy is coming back, and you have your Undertaker match, and this year it's Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's the...
One time.
Yeah.
One time that'll be fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so how about this network? What are your thoughts?
Well, the network. You know what?
Say like Cyrus.
Hmm? Yeah. Network. But it's... You have to... You spend all this time and effort into it. And you know what? And the problem is that... Because we're up here in Canada, is that we're not going to get this network.
Well...
And I want the network.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Because...
That won't... I don't think it'll be... I mean, the plan is to launch it worldwide.
Especially for you... Working for a cable company.
I get it half off.
If you could get a network for like $7
a month. $7 a month, yeah.
And we can watch pay-per-views for $7 a month, they would almost be worth it. I don't even know if Survivor Series is worth $7.
No.
And so, but at the very least, is if you have that and you've got your ability to go back, and if they're going to do more Legends roundtables,
yeah.
And they are going to have some other stuff. That, you know, then
there'll be enough on there to be worth $15 a month or $10 or $7 a month. The thing that gets me is that they're looking at the network being carried, you know, on, they don't know how much coverage they're going to get when they apparently launch it, you know, somewhere around February. So I guess with their February, March, in that range, whatever. Yeah. Or maybe WrestleMania. We don't really know.
Well, the big thing is that they're actually seriously considering at this point WrestleMania being launching the network,
and that's
going to be, and that's, and there's two things there. I think if you are going to launch this now, that's smart. That's how you
you have your only event that's going to do seven. This is your event that does like 700,000 buys US.
Yes,
600, 700 in that range.
So
now you're giving away a lot of those for a smaller profit. Smaller, you know, for a smaller price.
Maybe. Here's the thing, is that and I know what they're hoping, and to a large degree it's true, because I deal with this even in my own line of work, is that what they're, I guess, banking on, for lack of a better word, is that 700,000 people, or maybe at $15, right? Maybe a million people are going to do this at $15. Right? If 700,000 people are going to pay $65 for it, maybe a million people will pay $15 for this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of that million people, how many of them are going to go the next day and cancel the network?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 100,000?
Maybe.
And then how many in 2 months are going to cancel? And how many people can they add?
How many people they add?
They're buying themselves a really good base by doing it. And yes, basically what they're doing is they're doing a short-term pain for what they're hoping will be long-term gain.
Okay.
And so I understand it from that perspective, because
That's one point, right?
If 60,000 people are going to order Extreme Rules, right, then maybe you get 100,000. If you give them Extreme Rules as your first one, maybe you get 100,000 people offering that. But I do think that that's going to give you your largest opportunity base for people to pick up the phone and join this network.
If it's extreme, if you don't have Brock Lesnar or Russell at WrestleMania, and you have him wrestle at Extreme Rules, it could be more. You know what I mean?
No, it really couldn't. Brock Lesnar's drawing card is done.
Not completely.
Not completely, but for the most part, it's done.
It's hurt.
It's not enough that if with Brock Lesnar wrestling on Extreme Rules that you can get a million people to sign up for this network. Where
Brock Lesnar against John Cena rematch, I think he could.
I don't think he could.
I think you could get 300, not a million, no, but you could get more than 100,000.
You could get more than 100,000. You could get 175,000 people, sure. Doing it. I agree.
Well, I'd say about 300.
Can you get 300,000? That's not a million. And that's what I'm saying. Is that
I don't think you get a million anyway.
Difference.
I think if they do WrestleMania, I think it's a bad idea.
I think you launch
the network right after WrestleMania. when you have your most momentum.
I know.
What a catch.
Yeah.
Oh, that fucking sat him.
I don't think you, there's momentum and there's momentum. Momentum is, can you get momentum the day after WrestleMania, right?
Yeah.
So all you're going to do is then you're going to plug commercials on that day after WrestleMania with momentum, saying, order this network to be great, order this network to be awesome, order this network. Whereas if you say,
and this pay-per-view coming up, you'll get for free on it.
Ooh. Or
Extreme Rules, trying to turn it into a big event.
The only way you can get WrestleMania this year is to pick up the phone, call your cable company.
They can't make it exclusive.
And just for $15 a month.
They're not going to have that kind of coverage. They're going to be coverage, 30% of the time?
I don't care. That's
50%?
That's how you promote it. That's how you promote it. You get if you have the network, you
pick up. Even then, thinking you're going to have 30% coverage or 50% coverage, why the fuck are you even going with this? Why not go with Netflix and go, $15 a month or $10 a month and order it through your PS3, your Xbox, your smart TV, your account?
They already have that.
Do they?
Yeah.
And how does that work?
Well, they don't focus on it. I don't know how it works. I've never done it. I don't have Netflix.
No, you can order the pay-per-view, but they don't have a network like that.
Well, no, that's
what I'm saying. They can do the pay-per-views like that. You can order the pay-per-view on Xbox.
Yeah, and you can watch whatchamacallit, NXT and all that on the Hulu's and Netflix.
I'm talking about if you're gonna do it, why would you wanna limit yourself to 30-50% of the country when you can go through Netflix is at 100% and they're not carried on an actual network. So that seems to me to be the modern way to go. Number two, I don't think you're going to get 300. I think if you launch the network with the WrestleMania, you're going to get about 300,000 people buying. Honest to God, I really don't see a million. Even at $15, I think you're still going to have like 400,000-500,000 people ordering the pay-per-view, and you're going to get like 300,000 people on the network.
Let me just finish. You said 300,000 people are going to order WrestleMania, and you said that 300,000 people are going to order Brock Lesnar wrestling John Cena at Extreme Rules. And that right there is, those two things don't correlate. If you're correlating WrestleMania to the net and getting the exact same number of buys in the pay-per-view, you got to rethink your math a bit.
Okay, you're right. $250,000 would do Brock Lesnar versus John Cena. Honest to God, like, I really don't think it matters. I don't think this network's going to launch strong, regardless of what they do. And my other thing is, if you give away WrestleMania for free, they're saying this is a one-time event, and next year, when you are not giving it away for free, and all those people who are paying for the network are going to have to buy, you set a bad precedent, and you're going to lose customers, you're going to have people canceling, you're going to have people complaining. It's a mistake.
I don't know about that.
Once people think they deserve something, you can't take it away from them. People have an ability to believe that they have earned something through the internet.
I agree with you, but I'm not necessarily thinking that that's a mistake either. I agree with you that people, will want WrestleMania again next year for the same on the network as well.
Yeah.
But if you... Again, I would take it on a case by case and a year by year basis. Is that if you are if you're looking at this in that you're going to get a base, and let's say your base dwindles slightly. Again, let's go with my million, and all of a sudden at this time next year you have 700,000 people on that, because you've lost say 500,000, you've gained 200,000 other people up on this network, right?
Yeah.
So you have space of 700, and now you've got that base again, and you're saying, okay, now you got to get WrestleMania, and so now you're going to get again another bit of a spike. It's available on the network. It's going to come that time. Maybe you get back up and you do that attrition again, and it just there's going to be ebbs and flows with your thing. But I don't think there's necessarily a problem with giving WrestleMania for free on the network. I don't say for free, for $15.
Here's the way I see it. I think you launch with WrestleMania. I think you get 400,000. Let's say 400.
Okay.
I think you grow it to probably 550, 600,000. You go away to WrestleMania again next year, you probably get up to a million then.
I think it's just a slower
growth than what they're thinking.
And that's fine.
And okay. Also, the other thing is, they're saying February is when Classics and the Man goes away, right? That's why there's a lot of speculation. I also believe that February is about the time when they'll announce, here's our next delay in the network. Now coming in September.
Well, yeah, that's also a possibility as well.
Because I don't fucking trust these guys to find their assholes, you know, with a map and a
GPS. Here's the other part about it. I guess I'll play devil's advocate to the point where I let's just say that this network bombs.
Yeah,
let's just predict that.
Let's predict that.
Wow, that's amazing that we can predict something like that. But let's just say, okay, yeah, and it bombs. You know what? Here's the silver lining in the bomb. Okay, is that and then they've given away this stuff, and people are losing money, and yada yada yada, right? Now WrestleMania is $15, and they've given up all this stuff, and now they're making less money, and now again, now and they've spent all this money on the network. They don't have this buildup of cash that they used to. So now, oh shit! Now they need to make some money. Mm-hmm. So now what do they have to do? They have to try. And seriously, we said that's the only. I mean, the only way that there was change last time, the only thing that got us away from the goons and the Mantars and the TL Hoppers was the fact that WCW was doing it better, and they were falling behind. And they said, oh shit! We're almost broke.
We gotta try something.
And we got to try something. And so now here we go. If it gets to that point again, I mean, we don't know that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work, but they're going to be good at it. But so they are going to have to try something different, and that can only be a positive to me. Either this is a success and it changes the way that we
watch. If you're doing the network and you continue to give away 27 hours or 24 to 27 hours a month of your product on other television in addition, it's not going to work.
Why not?
The
majority of people will buy this network to watch it.
You're already overexposed.
Yeah, but
your fucking product, they need to drop Raw for 2 hours.
No, here's the thing. Well, yes, but for a totally different reason. But here's the thing. People with this network, okay, the majority, if they get a million buyers, 850,000 of those people are watching the network 3 hours a month. Right? They're watching the pay-per-view and that's it. They got a $15 pay-per-view and that's it. Great. That works for that and for them, right? That's perfect. for you and I, we can probably watch some old, some
you and I will watch Legends Roundtable, most people won't watch that shit.
Exactly. And so, for that, but so that's to me when we're talking about the network is going to overexpose them. No one's going to watch this other than
that's probably a good
view, you know what I mean?
They still need to go.
What do you do? Yes, absolutely. Ron needs to go to like 45 minutes at this point. With commercials.
It's so true. Christ, I'm just so sick of seeing these main same matches over and over. That's what I love. What do I love? I love NXT. You know, NXT doesn't always feature the best wrestling, but you know what?
But you know, and I look at the thing is like, I love the real Americans, and I love the Usos, and I love the Rhodes Boys, and the Shield, and the Wyatt, and I like Daniel Bryan, and CM Punk, and so there's like all of these guys where... And I'm forgetting people, I'm sure, but there's all of these guys that if Raw was 2 hours and you could focus just on those guys, I would think this would be great.
Thanks. Well, and again, if you rotate those guys, rotate them so we don't see them all the time. We don't see the same matchups.
Well, that's it.
Like we're watching Vintage. I watched it yesterday, you watched it a couple of days ago. Goldberg. I mean, one of the things that really stands out about the Goldberg streak that they were focusing it on was 173 matches. How many different guys he beat in that different stretch, right?
Yeah, I mean...
Like, especially like the first 75 or so, I mean...
Yeah. It was a new guy, yeah. I mean, there were guys that he beat, like, say, 2-3 times, but not a lot of them.
Not a lot of them. Generally, they had such a deep roster, they were able to rotate people in and keep it fresh every match. And you might have them beat, Lightning Foot Jerry Flynn twice, but...
And Glacier...
Yeah, exactly, but not, you know, you wouldn't have 47 matches with them.
But look at the thing that they had. Yeah, exactly. And look, the other part is with things making sense. I mean, the whole point was for him to go 100-0 and beat Raven, right, for the U.S. title.
Yeah.
Well, he started at...
Actually, I think at that point he was 70-something, I don't know. 70-0.
He was 75-0?
75. I think it might be 75.
75. Well, yeah. The point is that he started at 65-0 and started to fight the flock.
Yes.
You know, because he had 10 guys and he would beat Sick Boy. And he could beat
And then Rice.
And then
finally it was Saturn with the gatekeeper.
He goes Kidman, then he goes Saturn, and then he has to... Yeah, exactly. And it's just one of those things where they had it go... And I mean... And it can still work. I mean, that's Gold, or Ryback, rather, got over.
Yeah, it could still work. And they didn't even do Ryback 1/10 as well.
No.
And it still got over.
And it still worked, yeah, because...
you know what? When we sit there and say wins and losses don't mean anything, they don't, as long as they treat them like they don't. And as soon as you start to treat them like they do, they do. And Ryback's an example of that. He was winning.
Yeah.
So it meant a little bit.
I just, you know, and... I like a lot of these guys. It's just a matter of I can't understand the thought process behind like not elevating people at this point.
Well, like,
who are your main eventers right now? Randy Orton, John Cena, and The Big Show.
I know.
And that's it.
I know. Well, they're 2005.
Yeah, but that's it. And it's like, how can you not, and especially after the big show debacle on this pay-per-view, it's like, how do you not, I mean, I still...
They want to elevate Roman Reigns. Unfortunately, the thing that they're forgetting, Roman Reigns is not ready. And I said this, I mean, I think about 8 months ago, 9 months ago, we were talking about the Shield. I said, I think the guy who's going to end up being the top guy out of them is going to be Roman Reigns. He's the one I see the most in. He's got a presence about him and a charisma about him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Dean Ambrose, I think, will also have a great career, will probably be a champion too, and then he's, you know, but I think Reigns is a little more upside, and then Seth Rollins will be like he could be a Dolph Ziggler or Chris Benoit, go either way, right? So,
I don't think Seth Rollins is married.
I knew as soon as I said that, that there was going to be...
His son is still training with the Ultimate Goal. Did you hear that?
No.
His son is still training and he's going to Japan.
Oh, no.
David.
Oh,
David no. Benoit. You know, and you know who he's going to Japan with?
No.
Don't you?
No.
Oh, this is great. He's going to Japan with Cody Hall.
I knew it. I knew that's what you were going to say. Oh,
fuck me.
Roll on you.
Oh, my God. All they need is to hang out with Tamina Snuka, and away you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul Guerrero, they could just be a... Yeah.
Who do you think killed JFK?
Hmm? I'm pretty sure it was Jimmy Snuka.
That is the correct answer.
Yes.
I wonder what the dog's doing. Don't you wish you could do that? Honest to God.
Hold on, I think I can.
you're very flexible.
Oh, crap. I do. Yeah, I think that, this Roman Reigns, yeah, he's not ready.
He's not ready. And they forget, okay, it's like, Batista, to get to the point where he was ready, was 2.5 years.
Yeah.
It was over 3 years for Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
It was a year for Goldberg. It was a year for...
And some would argue that Goldberg wasn't ready when he did it.
Yeah, some would argue... Yeah, exactly. It was a year for Angle, you know? A year for Lesnar. So there is guys that's a year, but it's also... There's also guys like Jeff Hardy where it's 7-8 years.
Yeah.
So you can't just say, we need somebody, let's choose him. Because a lot of the times they do that, and they give him that great push, and he's a... So, you know, Vladimir Kozlov, and he gets to that point, and he gets to that high level because they need to make somebody, and he's not ready, and it ruins his career.
The problem I find with it
is... I mean, Orton, the fact that it didn't ruin his career, but he wasn't ready when they first gave it to him,
yeah,
is actually an anomaly.
It is.
But it took him 3.5 years. It wasn't until after his feud with the Taker that he started to be ready.
Yeah, when he fought the Taker at Mania, and I still think...
Even after his thing with Foley, he wasn't ready.
No, and that's what he did. That's why people thought, wow, shit, it's ready. So he beat Benoit for the belt at the SummerSlam there.
And he wasn't ready.
No. But I think that the thing with Roman Reigns and the thing that yes, he's not ready, but the real, I don't want to say piss off, but...
So just take time with him. That's what I'm saying. And the fact is, someday he should be the guy, maybe.
Right.
Now, there's a good chance, but not yet.
You have CM Punk. You have Daniel Bryan. Like, you have guys that... already that you can put in that spot and do very well while you're waiting for Roman Reigns to be ready.
Okay,
and that's the thing that I look at, is that right now it's not that you have this complete void and everybody's on the same level and that there's nobody that you can do. It really is that there are people that can fill the void while you're waiting. Yes, will Daniel Bryan and CM Punk be megastars? No, not at this point. They never will. It's over. But can Roman Reigns be that guy? Yes, if given time.
If given, wait till he's ready. Yeah. It's okay. That'll bring me to one of our other questions here. Like I said, CM Cesaro. We'll also let this in a comment page and give us a nice compliment.
On WeTalkWrestling.com.
On WeTalkWrestling.com. Appreciate it very much. And he's asking about the US, UK fans. I'm guessing he's obviously in Britain.
Okay.
And he's asking about the UK fans and, you know, how much, yes, in my native country, as it says.
They don't have natives there.
His native country.
Oh.
Hardcore country.
You mean they use Lysol for cleaning?
So, anyways, he's wondering about the atmosphere that when, you know, they had the Raw over there a little while ago,
right?
And how great the crowd was, and
yes.
He's saying how nice it is to see a crowd that's really, really excited like they when they come to the UK,
mm-hmm.
Compared to, you know, what you see with SmackDown, where people just couldn't give a damn about anything.
Yeah.
And why it is they don't come there for pay-per-views and Raws more often or reward the fans
with some bigger
shows. So, you know, big pay-per-views and big, you know. There is some talk of doing another SummerSlam there. We should mention that. I don't think it's a strong chance, but there is some talk about it.
I think it
could. But why is it the big events aren't held in the UK and overseas anywhere, despite the great reaction they get when they're doing a Raw and such?
Let's do a couple things there. Is it, yes, Raw got a great reaction. SmackDown largely tarped off the next day. In the back-to-back in the same city, right? So, I mean, as much as talk about it...
Well, SmackDown doesn't matter. Even people in the UK know that.
Yeah. Why don't they put the internet? The technology? I mean, back when it was a SummerSlam, you thought you'd never see.
Yes.
SummerSlam 92. It was on a massive tape delay, but nobody knew the results.
Well, they actually printed the results the morning of the event in our local paper.
Yeah.
And they had them all right except for one match. They listed it as a win for Shawn Michaels over Rick Martel.
Rick, the model,
and it was
a double count out. Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, the Calgary Sun actually listed, which is probably Bruce Hart, fucking over his brother. Out of jealousy.
Yeah.
But they listed the results.
Yeah.
You know, and it did take away something from me watching it, as I'm watching all the matches go exactly as they went. I'm like, ah, okay.
So you didn't take anything away from me, and then again, this was the other part of it too, was that, I mean, back in the day, a lot of the quote-unquote pay-per-views, I would watch when they come out on video cassette.
Yes.
Which would take like 3 months.
That's true.
And it would be, you know, you'd know all the results anyway. It was just a matter of seeing the matches. But
UFC, though, consistently does pay-per-views overseas or Brazil, England, Germany. I think they might have done one in Ireland.
It's a little bit different, though, because, I don't think that there's as many. I mean, UFC, they don't do as well now as they used to. But back in the day, it was a very, again, when UFC product was really hot, you would still get some people watching in the afternoon, but the majority would still watch at regular time, whatever it was, 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock here, is like, that's when the UFC pay-per-view comes on, let's watch it. Nobody knew, you know, you'd get a couple people that were the smarty pantses in the room that would do it, right? That would know the results. But, I mean,
smarty pants.
I know, right? Our M&M pantses. But I think that, I personally think that they wouldn't even go because the WWF is so concerned with this internet and the internet sites and people are just going to go and read on the internet.
More people do that in wrestling than UFC.
Yeah, for sure. But
what about the positives, though, of if you go over to a European market, maybe you get a bump in pay-per-view buys from Europe? And what about also the positive of, like, I mean...
I think it's positive. I mean,
it's I love it when they have a pay-per-view in Chicago because the crowd is so amazing. Montreal's an amazing crowd.
Yeah.
And they aren't able to get that often enough. What about the idea that you're presenting it? It comes across like you're presenting a hot crowd consistently if you're able to find
SummerSlam. Better crowds. It's not SummerSlam that you need to put in there. It's because you want a hot crowd, you want to do this, you want to change up the product a little bit. You have it so that the Royal Rumble winner next year doesn't necessarily, because then you get some more ambiguity in terms of
I don't know where you're going with it, but it's not going to be good.
He doesn't get a title shot, right? He doesn't get a title shot. If the winner of the Royal Rumble next year does not get the title shot, the winner of the Royal Rumble, because it's going to be in England, gets the coveted Salivar Trophy from the Royal Albert Hall.
Done. You know, you're done.
They'd be stupid not to do that.
They would be. Somebody go on the internet. Look, what's it called again? The coveted
Samovar Trophy.
Just Google it
from the Royal Albert Hall.
From the Royal Albert. Just Google that, folks. I'm completely explaining it to you.
Excellent. I don't know. They won't do why they should do it. When was the last time that a Raw in England had a different rating than a Raw in Pittsburgh? It doesn't happen.
You're right, yeah.
And so going overseas to in a pay-per-view, and hell, maybe with the network, again, if all these people are already locked in for the $15 a month, maybe they will do that.
It would make sense, actually, I can't believe you dropped that ball. No, it would make sense if you did do that, you're right, because, that's the time to do it. If you're doing the network, and the network isn't in Europe yet, maybe you can get all the people who are buying it on the network and also get an upgrade and buys from overseas if you go over there. So that's seriously one of the worst drops
ever.
That
is a bad drop, yeah. Wide open. But
so I think you're probably right there.
I think it's a great idea.
Three times and it gets worse every time. that does make sense. Yeah.
I do think that they need to, to put pay-per-views outside of North America. I mean, again, the time difference is what...
I don't know, they show live football games here.
Well, as I said, the time difference is what they are worried about.
They show look and see the English Premier League live here, you know, in the mornings. And there must be some way to work around the tape delay and to some degree, you would think.
You could possibly show it live and on, if you've got the network.
Why can't you do it both?
Yeah, that's what UFC did, do it both, and people can buy one or the other. Those real hardcores that want to watch it, get up and watch it live at a, whatever, 11 o'clock a.m. or whatever it is, then yeah,
go ahead. You'd have a better gate, right? That would help too, right? You'd, I mean, for all the expenses of going over there, you would have a better gate.
Yeah.
All right, let's hit his second question here. Okay. I know I have one more question. I don't know if I'll have time to get to it, and I wanted to... I'm just going to say this about TNA.
Sucks.
Actually, sometimes they put on a pretty good television product, but it just doesn't feel like it matters, so it doesn't feel worth talking about.
I haven't yet.
Even though they've reset a lot of the storylines, they've gotten rid of aces and eights, and they're, at the end of the day, it doesn't feel like it matters, even when they put on a pretty fun television product, which generally their television product, because it's only 2 hours, is easier to watch than WWE's lately. I will say, also, Dixie, though, getting, like, Sports Illustrated, Dixie Carter, of course, being Sports Illustrated, getting, like, a 30-minute, you know, interview to start Impact and all this. She's probably loving this. This is exactly what they want. She's getting so much attention and fame now from this lately, from what they're doing. This is where you have that money mark. They're not going to want to sell the company. She's going to fight to not sell the company because she's worried about losing that fame.
Yeah, cut mark.
She's a cut mark. Yeah, that's what they're doing. I think it's working.
Yeah.
I have a sense that that's working. So that's it. That's my whole thing on TNA. I want to finish with Will R.H. I'd love to get the other question. We haven't got much time left. Let's just hit the second part of, CM Cesaro's.
Quit that one. We could go ahead and do that.
He's asking about the chance. Are the chance for Daniel Bryan too big to deny him a decent title run? He says how the UK pop for Bryan and Punk was big, and it obviously had an effect on the wrestlers because they raised their level.
Yeah.
So what is your answer to that? I'll give you mine.
Okay.
RVD, Matt Hardy. Go.
I was going to say Bret Hart.
Hmm.
Is the counter argument to that. We talk about when the Big Show falters and you've got your John Cena.
One of the things, it wasn't just a bad match and bad finish as far as series. The crowd, obviously, I can't remember what city it was in, but they did not care for him in that position. They just kind of went,
Yeah.
Like they just went, Big Show, we don't want you.
And the same people, and the same could be said for Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Randy?
Sure.
Randy Orton
and John Cena.
Well, but John Cena
to a lesser degree.
John Cena to a lesser degree. And so I think at this point, they're going to go. I mean, it's WrestleMania time, and they're going to go with Cena. And it just the thing is if they do again decide that they want to, and that's the problem with it. Is it too big to deny? Yes. Yes, he is definitely too big to deny. Are they going to deny him? Probably. Because they don't... They're the most... I think right at this particular point, we talked about the mid-90s and such, I think at this point right now, WWF is the most out of touch that they've ever been with their audience.
Yes, and this is why they also have the worst booking that they've ever had.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's times when they have worse talent,
mm-hmm.
but the booking has never been worse. Like even if, like I say, 2002, the booking was bad, but I think this is the worst.
I think this is the most out of touch that they've ever been with their audience. And so, does Daniel Bryan have too much to deny? Yes. But they may...
RVD, Matt Hardy.
Yeah, and they may very well...
Those guys got massive reactions, didn't matter.
RVD, Matt Hardy, but at that time... You had a whole cast of others that they could go to that maybe weren't what the fans were necessarily 100% as well clamoring for, but were okay options. They had other options, right? Right now, they have no options.
I suppose.
The Big Show sucks in that role. Randy Orton,
the same thing, they have options.
John Cena, no, I don't even think that they do. That's what I'm saying.
They think Roman Reigns is an option.
They
think...
Big E will be an option. I think, you know what I mean? But I think they're looking at Roman Reigns being an option, to be an option. And they don't think Ryback is an option. They don't think Mark Henry is an option. They don't think that Punk is an option. I mean, they're not looking at, they can't sit back and name a handful of options. They can name one or two. And right, that's where Daniel Bryan should have the event. When I say Bret Hart is because they were going to go with Lex Luger, people didn't like Lex Luger. They didn't have any other option but Bret Hart, so they went back to Bret Hart and it worked.
Yep.
Right? And that's the only time that Daniel Bryan will get there is that they don't have any other option. If they do it, he will run with it. It will be great, but they won't ever do that, in my opinion.
And also, in my opinion, they consistently... He's less of an option now than he was because he consistently told us how short he is, how ugly he is, how whatever, and that has hurt him.
But I don't.
Not as much. He's not as much as it could have. Thank God, but it has.
Well, he's a Teflon. He's one of those guys that seems to be Teflon, right? And those are the guys that do make your best stars.
Yeah,
but
there. All right. Quickly, ROH. Right. That's my favorite wrestling program
all time. All your life.
It's getting up there.
No.
I'm just going to...
Oh, you are excited about it.
Yeah, no, it's getting up there. Like, it's... This is everything we talk about with WWE. It's the ante. Like, it is the alternative. Both my two favorite programs, NXT and ROH, obviously has the advantage of only being 1 hour. I don't think it's a coincidence my two favorite shows are 1 hour long. You give us an hour, a lot of wrestling, a few promos, a few video packages. The storylines are simple, logical, and their belts matter, their wins and losses matter, and the wrestling is terrific. And the Paul London, what was his name?
Adam Cole?
No, Paul London, no, he had an incredible match with
Roderick Strong.
Thank you, Roderick Strong. It was a great match. But even just things like you have a storyline with Jimmy Jacobs looking for redemption, and the guy who stands up with him is the baby face that Jimmy Jacobs, the heel, have his greatest feud with that. And Michael Bennett, he's out of action, his neck's broken, he's had to retire, and he asks that you get Jimmy Jacobs, the guy who he hated the most, another chance, and the guy earns a title shot, and by having to win 3 out of his 5 matches to earn a chance back in the company and get a title shot.
Yeah.
And then he gets it in his hometown. And you know what? It's just great, old-school wrestling action. I love it.
Who's their booker? Is it still Hunter?
Hunter, yeah. Yeah, delirious. Hunter Johnson is still their booker. And he does. They have great talent. Again, they found great talent, new great talent. And they have a tag team division that's interesting.
Yeah, it's so strange, though, that they've got... A company run by Hunter Johnson can be so good, and a company run by Hunter Little Johnson can be so bad.
Hunter Little Johnson. I fucking love it. That's his new name. Hunter Little Johnson.
Yes.
This delirious Hunter Johnson, and...
Hunter Little Johnson.
Hunter Little Johnson, also delirious.
yes, he's also coincidentally delirious.
Yes. That's fucking great. Alright, so have we got time for the last question?
Yeah, let's do the last question.
Alright, so Never on Tuesdays asked us if we used to read the old Pro Wrestling Illustrated or other magazines like that, and if we had any memories of them. So were you a reader of those magazines?
Yes, I was more of a WWF magazine guy. I got the WWF magazine
every with Big Venom?
It was even before Vic Venom.
It was Vic Venom.
Yeah, they had Brainstorms, and it was even like before the Raw magazine come out or whatever, and it was...
Raw magazine was far more the more adult-oriented one.
Yeah, that's where you had the spreads of like Terry Runnels and Sonny and their lingerie and stuff. But the pro wrestling, I remember the first time the pro wrestling, no word of a lie, it was, I'm trying to remember, it was Christmas morning, and I woke up at like 1 o'clock in the morning. We had like stocking stuff or whatever, like that, and they'd be hanging on our door, because then they would be on our door, so then that would keep us like in our rooms for like another hour.
Sleep. Smart.
So I woke up at like 1 in the morning, and...
How old were you?
24. I'm trying to remember. I must have been like 9 or 10. There were two things that we really like wrestling and like rock music, like metal music, right?
Yeah.
So My brother, I saw on his thing, he had the WWF magazine. I think Roddy Piper was on the cover of it.
Okay.
And then I was, my parents were still downstairs doing whatever they were doing, so I was like, you see, and all I saw was on the cover of my magazine, it said Sting.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a rock and roll magazine.
Ah.
I thought it was like Sting and the Police.
Yeah, yeah.
And, it turns out that that's Sting a better worker. So I woke up in the morning, and I don't remember what the, I couldn't even tell you what the cover was or anything, but the big, article in it was, is Sting going to put his friendship aside with Lex Luger for the NWA title?
Yes, yes.
And that was the magazine. That was my first, exposure to it, but I used
one of the magazines. There was Pro Wrestling Illustrated. That was the big one.
And The Wrestler.
The Wrestler. Yep, that was another one.
There was
like four of them, five of them.
Oh God, there were probably like a dozen of them. But
yeah,
From
Bill Apner was the really the guy the
and
publisher
and Stu Sachs.
And Stu Sachs. Yeah,
who's on the 50th year history of WWF documentary quite a bit. Not quite a bit, but yeah, actually quite a bit. But I'm trying to think of what I liked about it in the 80s, or the late 80s, when it, before we got the TBS here in Calgary, was that that's how you could read about these guys. And that's how I could hear about a guy like Jerry Lawler.
Yes.
And you know, and all these... And, I mean, eventually everybody comes to WWF, right?
Yes.
So it's sort of... how you could read about these. It's kind of like watching NXT. You know, you're watching NXT to get familiar with these guys, so when they go to the main roster, it's like, oh yeah, it's Big E Langston, okay. I know that guy. The same idea is when you were reading about them. And so it's like, oh, that's Jerry Lawler, or oh, that's Lex Luger, or, you know, all those. That's how I got familiar with these guys.
Yeah, that was a big deal to me. My first one that I picked up was right before WrestleMania 3.
Okay.
It was, the cover was Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, right after the angle.
Right.
A little while after the angle. Leading up to WrestleMania 3. Yeah, that's an
even worse drop. Yeah.
It's just brutal. And that was it. It was those guys on the cover. And I remember picking up the magazine at the Max convenience store, picking up, and the centerfold was Randy Savage and Elizabeth. Because I saw it was about a full color centerfold. And then you pulled it out. I remember getting it home and reading about, I went right to that. Pulled it out, hung it on my wall, but before I did, then on the back they had a lot of facts about Randy Savage that I didn't know, like his career, you know, how he was a minor league baseball player,
quotes
from Elizabeth saying, he's the coolest man I know, and all this stuff, and you know, how old he was 36 at the time, I'm like, holy shit, he's already old.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I'm like 13 or something, I don't know what I was, younger than that, I think. Point being, though, that, you know, I pick that up, I read it, everybody's saying that Andre the Giant's going to win the match, and I'm going, no. I'm flipping through this thing. They had an article in there, a guy who played the heel, guy who they used to write letters to, I can't remember his name.
Oh,
Eddie
Elner?
Eddie Elner, that was it. And he was, like, the most popular guy they had, but he was, like, the heel guy, and he would talk about Bruiser Brody and how he eventually missed him, and that's where I learned about Bruiser Brody. But the things that stood out for me about it, besides those full-color pit layouts, were at the back they always had the results of the house show loops. And I used to go through those and read those like crazy. And that was fascinating to me because you see many of the same results, but a few differences. And you know...
Yeah, I remember we used to do that. Remember the... remember we got like the PWI Almanac in like 1990?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we were like...
It's like, exactly. Before, and they used to be the top five, PWI top 500.
Yeah.
I still think they still might, and it meant something. But yeah, the Almanac, we would go through and look at who won and how long the matches were and, you know, how big the crowd was and all this stuff. But the other thing was, obviously, when they had the rankings, most top 10 wrestlers, top 10 tag teams, top 10 most popular, top 10 most hated, and then they would do it for every territory. They would do the rankings per territory.
Yeah.
And this is where I'm watching this thing, you know, like I said, pick this up for Hogan and Andre, and I go to top 10 wrestlers, and first thing I see is Ric Flair. Who the fuck is this guy? How can he be about a Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? And you know, most hated is like Randy Savage's
question.
Rick Flair's most hated, and Randy Savage is number two, and Roddy Piper is number three. You know, I don't know who these guys are.
My first question when I saw Ric Flair up there was, well, how much does that guy weigh?
but I mean, that's the thing is, this is where, and for a long time, I mean, I hated Ric Flair because he was at all gold on these lists. But it's also where I'm reading about it before I ever see him wrestle.
Yeah.
I read about Flair. By the time I finally, and it makes me want to track down those tapes, and by some time somebody brings in one of the very first Ric Flair NWA tape I saw was the Great American Bash. It was a main event with him versus Nikolai Volkov. They were both heels, but because he was the American, he was the babyface in it.
Nikita Koloff?
Who did I say, Nikolai?
Nikolai Volkov.
Nikita Koloff, sorry. Yeah, Nikita Koloff. And
I'd actually love to see that match. Flair and Nikolai Volkov.
That'd be awesome. The point being, though, is that the job of this magazine was, well, they wanted to sell for themselves, but they also were supposed to promote the industry and make you interested in it. And they did that. They made me care about NWA. They made me want to check out I'm hearing about AWA, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is where I'm hearing about Jerry Lawler, he's taking on, he's world champion. This is before I was on Russell, right? This is where I know.
Even Stu Sachs said in the 50 greatest, the 50 years of WWF, was that during the Attitude Era, so his magazine, like they're ripping on it and all raunchy and stuff. He's like, but our magazines never sold more than during that time.
Yeah.
You know? And it was like, so as much as we ripped on it, you know, it was definitely good for our bottom line, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And, look at Bill After in terms of, even his place in wrestling is, he was the one that brokered the deal that went to Vince Sr.
Mm-hmm.
to say, there's this guy named Andy Kaufman who'd like to wrestle.
Yes.
And Vince Sr. said, no, we're not in on that. So then he called Lawler, and Lawler's like, yeah, send him down, let's go, right? So, so as much as they would say, I don't want to say that they took from wrestling, but they were giving back.
They were absolutely giving back. And like I say, Eddie Elner, the magazine, the centerfold, the color centerfold, second one I got was of Missy Hyatt. I stuck that up on my wall, I was like, oh, she was hot,
so much you couldn't get it down.
Yeah. Pretty close. the Eddie Elmer, the color layouts, the results of the back and the top tens, and then the year end awards. Well, the fans voted on were big. And I remember the first time that they started including Stampede Wrestling. I'm thinking now they're including Stampede Wrestling.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's cool, because they didn't at first. And then all of a sudden, Owen Hart, who was North American champion, makes the top 10. And there was a sense of pride. Yeah. Then Owen Hart wins the Rookie of the Year. And it meant something to me. And same thing, this is where Medusa Miceli winning Rookie of the Year. I hadn't heard of her yet.
Yeah.
This is where I hear the Rockers before we ever see them. Shawn Michaels, and I hear about their moves. And, the same thing. Chris Chavis, who turned out to be Tatanka, wins Rookie of the Year. This is where you hear about him early. And it was a great way of finding out about the industry and the guys coming up before.
So it wasn't, 100% accurate.
I also said Medusa Miceli. But,
Medusa had a great career.
Yeah.
Tatanka did not.
But, it was very NWA-centric.
You know what, Tatanka actually, you could come
the magazines,
now that they're talking about tag teams.
Yeah.
Right? You could have Tatanka teaming with Hunter Little Johnson.
I did enjoy the WWE magazine, too, because it was all color instead of having the newspaper print.
Right.
And the black and white that most of those magazines were from the After magazines. I like the WWE one too. It was good. They did interview the guys. They stayed in character, but still gave you a behind the scenes chance to hear from guys that you wouldn't normally hear from in long interviews and stuff.
And they had their format where, like, of things you could do. They always had the crossword puzzle.
Yeah.
They had the spotlight was on the back.
Yeah.
It was the last page was always the spotlight where they would spotlight on like a mid card guy.
Yeah, that's the first time Bret Hart probably got some promotion from them.
Yeah.
You know?
But they would have all these guys, and then they had their little news section in terms of like coming soon or whatever, mm-hmm. or like they would drop storyline hints in this little newswire section. So that would be great to read.
Can you imagine them doing that now?
Well,
they haven't. So it's Sunday. They're still writing them all tomorrow.
By the time things got to print and stuff, but
holy shit. Yeah, no, they're still writing them all for tomorrow. They don't know the matches yet, the angles. Yeah, it's a different era. And those magazines, the WWE magazine and the After magazines, what I liked was I knew it wasn't real, but it let me pretend. And it made it easy to pretend. And it's hard to pretend now. And that's one of the things that's lacking.
It's
really hard to pretend now. So, yeah.
There's a lot of problems right now. And again, it's going to be, I am willing again because, I mean, we don't like the product right now, obviously. And I
love ROH. And I love Vintage. And I enjoy NXT. So there's enough out there that I go, this is why I love wrestling. And we got so much stuff to watch. I got Vintage on Heyman that you missed because you were away.
Oh, yeah.
I have that sitting there. I got this ROH and this London match that you haven't seen, and this different stuff with it. The All Stars vs. Champion main event also was great.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
It was tremendous, right? I got the Jesse Ventura. Somebody sent me the Jesse Ventura Roddy Piper television.
Oh, yeah, they did.
We want to watch that.
Body Slams? That was
what it's called, yeah. You know, for live audio commentary. And, you know, I mean, the pay-per-views, the possibility of stuff in the network, some of the DVDs, there's certainly still stuff out there.
Josh Gordon.
He's amazing. He's just another level. He is just...
95-yard touchdown.
And he already had, 180 yards.
Yeah, he had 169 yards, and now he's got, 250 yards and two touchdowns.
Oh, man.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
Because I have...
They almost traded him, too, when they traded Richardson and all that stuff, you know? Amazing. Anyways, but that's it, though, is it, we got a lot of stuff about wrestling that's still out there that's like, I'm not, you know.
I can the next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. And then, what's really going to be.
And then we have the Royal Rumble.
And then we have the Royal Rumble, which we're going to love, and then, or at least want to watch. And then we're going to get to Elimination Chamber, so we'll see what that is. Again, what you're going to peel into now as well is the build to the Undertaker. Brock Lesnar match.
Yep, I'm looking forward to that.
You're going to have to see, again, what do you do for a Klondike bar? No, but what do you do with...
The talk right now is that Roman Reigns has the role of throwing out 8 or 10 guys at the Royal Rumble and trying to continue to build them.
Yeah, the diesel spot. That's perfect.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
Yeah.
The thing is, what do you do... Who does John Cena face? But who's your WWF... Who wins the Royal Rumble and is your WWF challenger? Championship challenger, right? I mean, like that. The who?
God, you know, I cannot think of.
Well, God no showed the last.
I thought they booked him.
So yeah,
it's been silent. they don't have. Well, this is where they failed again.
Yeah,
this is where they failed again. They haven't got anybody.
The only person,
and they haven't got enough time to get anybody hot enough.
Well, to me, it's Punk or Bryan.
Think Bryan, because they did that at SummerSlam and the pay-per-view, the buy rate wasn't very good. And the buy rate for Survivor Series, by the way, I'm curious on. I think it'll be so low.
Oh, God.
And the fact that Daniel Bryan
was not the main event.
And that's lame for it. One reason it'll be low is that they also made a mistake. I don't know, I'm guessing that say they do 120,000 buys, North American, what do you figure, 20 or 30,000 of those are from Canada usually?
Yeah.
So they're probably down to 5 from Canada because they went against the Grey Cup, which is the most watched television event in Canada every year.
Oh, yeah.
It's the most watched event. The Super Bowl is the second most watched event. They went on that day. That'd be in this country going against the Super Bowl. Stupid. So that cost them whatever buys getting from Canada down to a tenth of what they normally do.
It's going to be minuscule, yeah.
Yeah, so.
So their North American buys will definitely be
low.
Yeah, and I don't know, is this a...
Could drop them from 120 to 100.
I assume this is a pay one in the UK and not a free one.
Probably.
And so, it's just given the history and the name, and you know what I mean? But I think that, I bet you they do 120 worldwide, and it's, it's probably 70,000 domestic and 50,
you know.
But... I just, you know, one level, maybe CM Punk can main event
wrestling. I don't think CM Punk versus John Cena. I think they've burned it out too many times. The same thing, I think.
Well, they haven't done it in a while. I mean, they haven't done it since February, and what we'll get to in a couple of weeks is the match of the year.
Well, yeah, I'm going to show you this London match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think they burned it out. I think that match has happened too many times. I think, I don't know. I would think that, I think you're more likely to see something like a four-way. Like they're going to need to pull out a gimmick. It'll be like Brian.
A McMahon in every quarter?
Yeah, honest to God, yeah.
And instead of Shane, it'll be Hunter?
Yeah, honest to God.
And Aurora Rose instead of Linda.
I could even see John Cena versus Hunter for the title.
I was about to say, that's the one.
With Vince also in it. Vince, with both the title and the control of the company.
Because, yeah, they are looking.
Cena being Vince's man, you know, because he is in real life. You know, yeah. It's funny. We'll see.
Mania has nothing. I mean, it looks like you're gonna, if they're gonna, I don't know who, maybe the Real Americans will get the tag titles, and you're gonna do the Rhodes Boys.
Yeah, I don't think they should split up the Rhodes Boys for at least another year. I think they should, but they're going to, again.
Yeah, they're going to, and it's okay.
That's the Mega Rhodes Explode, yeah.
The Mega Rhodes Explode, and I mean, but I can't think of, I mean, if you do the Wyatts against the Shield, I mean, and that's where the next night on Raw is when Roman Reigns turns babyface, you know, that
could
be.
Yeah, like I think the undercard you can put together. But yeah, the top of the card, it's, well, anyways. All right, I think we're done, aren't we?
I think so. Did we got all the questions answered there, yes? So,
yeah, I think so. I think we covered the magazine pretty well. I think we got these other ones answered. So you can send us more questions. How are you going to hold us one more time there? And then we'll talk a little bit about what's coming up with the website and the iTunes for our subscribers.
Yeah, well, it's @ADDIE @WeTalkWrestling.com. We have a contact us page on WeTalkWrestling.com, which is how the two questions come through here from us today. So that's obviously an excellent way. We've just revamped the website a bit there, so I think it might be a little bit easier to find as well, which is nice. We've got Twitter @WeTalkWrestling. We also have Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. And you can visit WeTalkWrestling.com, and you can follow us, Stitcher, you know, iTunes. Do you want to talk a little bit about iTunes? And
well, yeah. So obviously, we've been, you know, we're both on Podomatic, as we say, and on our website. And the same thing was happening with over at We Talk Comics and other shows on our sister site there, We Talk Podcast. And we're all Podomatic there now. Everything's coming, feeds all coming through our own website, and it's been a redesign. And you're going to see a similar redesign. We've already redesigned some, but you're going to continue to see a continual evolution of We Talk Wrestling Mail. We Talk Podcast, a lot of ways, the work I was doing on that is testing ground for what's going to happen on We Talk Wrestling. It's going to look even better. It's going to look great, and it's going to function better. I'll still have an embedded player in there and everything like that for you to listen to and downloads. We're going to make those as easy as use as possible. And it's going to be a great-looking site by the time we're done with it. But the iTunes feed, again, will be redirected through where we're going from Podomatic over to just We Talk Wrestling. So that feed will be gone. You'll need to refeed. You'll need to look us up again, and you'll need to resubscribe. But it will be better, and we'll be able to function better and do more stuff. And it won't be as confusing for people on what website to go to listen to us. So we're going to make that. It's going to be great, but that will be a hassle for people. So we just ask you to do that. But once we do this, we're currently on Stitcher. We're going to look at even more places you can get the podcast at.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, everything's going to be better. But this will be a pain in the ass for people if you are currently subscribing. We're sorry.
So I will give you refeed us more.
Refeed us more, like Ryback. Mm-hmm. Me. So, anyways, we'll get to that, but we will give you lots of heads up time. It's not going to happen right away here. But it will be happening within the next few weeks. We're just final negotiations with iTunes is probably the best way to put it. We're just figuring out how to do that stuff.
Yeah, so that'll be good to time for the
basically, we're paying for two sites, we only need to pay for one. And so,
yeah. And since everybody gets this for free,
and you will find some unobtrusive ads added to our site, and as always, we appreciate it if you share it.
Yeah.
Appreciate it if you contact us, tell us what you think. But if you really want to support the site, you just hit those buttons really quickly once they're on there. I don't care if you stay or not. I don't care if you buy anything or not. Just hit them and go to them and
click that shit.
To support the show a little bit. That'd mean a lot.
Just click that motherfucking shit. All
right. So with that, we're OUT.
All right. So that's going to do it for yet another month. So no, we'll be back next week. But in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Hey, is this a part where you say something rude and unnecessary?
Shut up, faggot.